to the Klamath Tribes podcast. I'm Ken Smith, and joining me today is Adriana Hassel, the administrative assistant for the language department here at the Klamath Tribes. She's new to the job, a couple weeks, I would say, right?
Yeah.
And welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Reason she's on is because she's a fascinating young lady who has an interesting background coming in. First of all, let's backtrack to where were you born?
Here, Klamath Falls.
Here or Chiloquin?
Klamath Falls, not Chiloquin. Same thing to me.
And what is your tribal connection?
I'm enrolled here with the tribe.
What part? Are you Modoc, Klamath, yeah, Paiute?
Klamath, Modoc, and Pitt.
And what?
Pitt River.
Oh, really? They were just in the news about getting a national monument
that they
had been seeking and that Biden had approved of. So you went to college where again?
Portland State University.
Oh, local.
Yeah.
How was it at the Portland State University, PSU, Portland proper, right?
Yeah. It was super fun. I enjoyed the whole 4 years that I spent there, and if I had enough money, I'd go back and I would spend a lot more time there, but I just don't have the resources to just keep obtaining degrees from there, but it was super fun.
You would go back for a master's, you mean?
A master's, a bachelor's. I would do anything to spend more time there.
You didn't get a bachelor's for 4 years?
I mean, I did, but I would get another one.
Wow, you really loved college.
Yeah, it was super fun.
Really? I couldn't wait to get out, but that's me. So what did you get your degree in?
Film.
That's why we wanted to talk to you.
Yeah.
That's a fascinating major to get. What inspired you to go after film as a career and as an education?
Honestly, one day in high school, I heard someone mention film as a degree. And I was like, wow, I never thought of that. I didn't think you could, like, major in film. And then I was like, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. And so I was like, let me do that. That sounds fitting. I didn't put much thought into it. It was more of an intuitive thing. And then, well, I was looking at film programs, and I was like, okay, Portland State seems like a nice school. And then that was it. I didn't apply for anywhere else or do really any research. I was just like, yep, this feels right. And then it turned out to be a great decision.
What felt right about it? Did you visit the campus?
Nope.
You didn't visit the campus.
I didn't do anything. I didn't do any research. And it turned out to be worth it. Again, it was intuitive, so I think my intuition was right about all of it. But
that's interesting. Sight unseen, and it turned out perfect.
Yep.
Where did you go to high school?
Mazama in Klamath Falls.
Yeah. Was there anybody there, a teacher or anything, anybody that influenced you in your decision? In the way they, you know, introduce you to film, maybe?
Not even close. I look back at my high school teachers after having met so many different college professors, and I think that college professors are way cooler than high school teachers.
Oh, boy. Okay. What professor at PSU had a big influence on you?
I had a bunch of them, actually. A lot of them. There was one in particular that who was a production professor who just taught filmmaking on the production side. And she encouraged me to do all sorts of stuff, apply for different grants and submit stuff for awards and whatnot. And I think she had first reached out to me my freshman year. And
what was her name?
Pamela Minty. Yeah. She is actually just adjunct too, so she's there part-time. And I think, yeah, she was the very first production professor I had, and then right from the start, she was pushing me to basically do more with what I was coming up with.
What's an example?
She had just seen my work in our production courses and encouraged me to submit for different awards and stuff that the school had offered, and yeah, pretty much stuff like that.
Did you win an award?
No. I eventually went on to win an award, but my freshman year, I did not win an award.
So describe a film major's curriculum and development. It's not something people typically get into, unless say you go to USC or New York University, you know, the big places. But I didn't even know PSU had one.
Their film school, the professor who started it is still there, and I took one of his classes, and he was a really interesting guy. But I've met other people who have majored in film, and then I don't meet any of them on the job doing any film work. I have passed by meeting them in random places, and it seems like most of them don't seem to be doing work that focuses on film, or all of the people who have majored in it I've met. And what I found from speaking with them is that there doesn't seem to be a set curriculum. So at Portland State, I know I worked in both production and film studies as well. But when I talk to other people who have majored in film, it seems like it's all over the place.
So when you got to your senior year, did you have like a major project you had to produce?
By that point, I had started putting time into one project in particular, and then I spent the last half of my junior year and my senior year working on it, and I'm still working on it. I just graduated in June, and it turned out getting extended for another year. So,
what was that project?
It was a dam removal project.
On the four dams?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's different because here it's really relevant to not only the tribal community, but just the community in the basin, and then all the way out to California. It's relevant to all of these people. But in Portland, it's less relevant. It's people aren't as connected to it. But what was interesting about it is that the people there, there's still a really big audience. So their perspective on it, what little perspective they have on it, is way different than what people down here think. So they really were excited to hear about the project. And then I eventually...
They being who?
Just people in the area. I talked to all sorts of people from not just the film department, but people who worked in environmental sciences and stuff. People who I had in everyday life that I had passed by who it happened to come up with. And yeah, it turns out the audience was really big up there for that sort of project, some dam removal documentary project, or they were interested in hearing about this environmental thing that was going on.
So you chose a very complex issue, but a very historic moment of environmental restoration, the largest dam removals in the history of the world, the four dams on the Klamath River. And you took it on for a documentary. So you got a lot of footage? Did you get out there with your camera? Did you have a drone? How did you go about it?
Not even close. I fooled them. I tricked the university into giving me some money. They threw some grant money at me. That's why I'm able to continue the project still. But what actually happened was I started this documentary project my junior year just because I was taking an environmental documentary production course. So dam removal was just starting. They hadn't started any of the construction or anything. It was just came to light that it was going to be an official thing. So I was like, okay, I can do a project on this, right, for this class. And then I did all of this footage and I did do interviews, but I think I only interviewed one person from here. And then most of the footage was from the Willamette River because that was closer because I was in Portland. So it wasn't fully about dam removal. It was more about indigenous perspectives on water. So I wasn't totally fooling anybody, but it was indigenous perspectives on water as it related to dam removal and then some decolonization stuff. And that's how I started the project. And then now I got into it later my senior year, some more coming down here and doing footage down here and kind of aiming the project more towards dam removal, as it was going to be a fuller project. And then just over the summer, I was still located in Portland, so I was doing so much travel back and forth, gathering footage just on the ground, no drone worker, nothing really crazy or exciting.
So here you are now back in your hometown, working in Chiloquin for the tribes. Are you still getting footage? Are you still following up to add to the story?
Yeah, I have to because I have a deadline to meet with the grant that the university gave me a grant for this project. So I actually have to finish this project to meet the requirements for the grant that I received. So I'm still doing plenty of work on the whole project for the next 9 months or so, I think.
Wow, that's a lot of time still to do.
Yep.
Editing, post-editing?
So I need so many more interviews. Interviewing people is so hard. It's hard to schedule people or get people to actually sit down and do an interview.
Well, maybe they'll hear this. What do they need to reach out to you?
They need to contact. Can I get my phone number?
Yeah, do whatever you want.
Okay. Or my email. Okay, my phone number is 541-331-0138. Or you can reach me at AdrianaHassoL@gmail.com.
AdrianaHassoL? What did you say?
L. Okay. AdrianaJassoL@gmail.com. I would appreciate if anybody's interested in sitting down to do an interview or participating in this project on dam removal, I would greatly appreciate you contacting me.
All right. Well, hopefully something happens here. We've been covering it in the Klamath Tribes news. So
Absolutely, all you
have to do is read those articles and you can find some subjects that you can go for.
You would sources. Not guess how many subjects I've emailed, how many people I've...
And nothing?
Well, there's some people, but it's not as quick moving as I'd like it to be.
Welcome to documentary filmmaking.
I know, I'm getting really angry.
Are you looking to do more creative stuff as you develop as a film producer, director, shall we say, creator?
Yeah, definitely. I'm really interested in getting into kind of like indigeneity and horror or Ooh. Some folklore. I don't want to call it folklore, but some more ghost stories.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So that means are you going to write the script?
Well, I'd like to do kind of like an archival of ghost stories or stuff along the lines of that from indigenous people.
Did the tribes call it ghosts? Or what,
no.
what did they call it?
I don't know what they call it.
Well, Georgine would know, right?
Yeah.
In the language department.
Yeah.
Spirits.
Yeah, something like that.
Evil spirits. So the tribes had evil spirits and good spirits?
Not our tribe particularly. Really, I'd like to go around and talk to a bunch of different people from a bunch of different tribes. That's my next project.
Well, is it going to take the form of a documentary or is it going to...
I haven't thought that far into it.
Yeah. Well, with that said, here at the Klamath Tribes, you're looking to incorporate your experience and knowledge of film with the language department. Why don't you talk about the projects that you and Georgine have been discussing, Georgine Nelson, the language department director. How are you going to incorporate video for language lessons?
There's a big potential to do, all sorts of stuff with it because film is a medium that really you can fit into anything and everything, which is one of the cool things about it. So there's a potential for teaching the language, which is like, okay, cool. If you want to learn the language, I guess. Just kidding. But I also see a potential for when one of the classes I took, I watched a movie that was by a Canadian tribe. And it was like, I think the first feature film that was fully in an indigenous language.
Oh, in the language. What tribe was it?
I can't remember. It was in Canada. But it's called Edge of the Knife. And it was incredible. I didn't think too much of it when I watched it. I was like, that's really cool. But now that I'm in this department, I'm thinking how big of a project that really is and what would really go into it. I think like the actors who were in the film spent like 5 weeks doing language training to learn the language so they could actually do the film. And it was a horror film as well, kind of a horror film. But yeah, I am thinking of all the possibilities that you could do creatively, not that go beyond just teaching the language in a lesson format.
Going beyond that.
Yeah.
Like maybe some shorts.
Yeah, imagine, thinking along the lines of the movie that I just mentioned, imagine that we did a short film completely in one of the languages that we offer.
Yeah, that'd be fun and a fun way to learn. And you have to get people who could speak the language well, at least enough to do the dialogue.
It'd be a huge project. I think
it'd be a huge learning process for everybody.
Yeah, I guess we could try keeping it simple and short. But I think the movie that I mentioned had like over $1 million budget. So definitely
had it over $1 million.
Yeah.
How long was it?
It was a feature film. So I think around an hour.
Oh, it was
a
feature.
Yeah.
What was the name of it again?
It's called Edge of the Knife, I think, or The Edge of the Knife.
And the whole thing was in their language.
Yeah.
And subtitled, obviously, for the viewers.
Yeah.
Huh. Crazy. Well, you got. I wish we had the tribe that did it. That would be interesting. And maybe you could
reach out to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, how soon do you think you could start making shorts in our language? Well, not mine, but your language. I always tend to speak on behalf of the tribes saying our.
I guess I just need to learn the ropes of my job responsibilities first, and then I'll start pushing the lines on what I can do or pushing the limits on what I can do here, because I'm really interested in working in projects like that, because I think when you're working at a job and you don't want to work too much, because it's like, why would I work for this random company or put in too much effort into the work you do? I mean, like, to an extent, depending on where you work. But the cool thing is about working here is that this is my tribe. So I'm absolutely willing to put in 120%, 200% and start up some really cool projects like that. I'm really interested in contributing to something that benefits this community.
Maybe get some grants?
Yeah, absolutely.
We don't need a film producer, do we? Some private investor?
I have no idea. There's actually a lot of grants out there that we could probably... I mean, I don't know how the whole business aspect between the tribe works.
And then you have to get the cameras.
Yeah.
You could lease those. They're very expensive.
Yeah.
Most people lease, rent, you know. That's probably some film. You obviously know the film companies in Portland.
Yeah. Yeah.
And somebody has to write the script. If it's not you, we need somebody to write a...
Georgine's got a lot of work to do.
Scary? Always a scary angle?
Scary would be cool, but I mean, I'd be open to anything, is because just the idea of doing a short film in either Klamath, Modoc, or Paiute would be incredible.
It's funny that you bring this up. I wrote a script before I even took this job. And like 6 months after I wrote it, I got this job as the public relations director for the Klamath tribes. But I had come across in my Western travels the story about Sarah Winnemucca, who was a Paiute and a Burn Paiute, I guess.
Yeah.
And I found out she wrote an autobiography. She was the first woman to write an autobiography as a tribal member, an Indian. So I read the book, and I was like, I want to try to adapt this to a screenplay for a movie. And it was so hard because this was her second language more than it was her first one, even though it was in English. So some of the sentences were confusing, and she called everybody brother, it seemed, even if they weren't brother. So I was like, well, who's the real brother, you know, and who's the real sister? And but it's a fascinating story in that she starts as a child, like 12 years old, and then through her boarding school, although it was a small time at the boarding school, and then into the wars that took place, the Bannock War and another one that we profiled that I wrote. And so you had to write these war scenes, which weren't easy, and then it was the reservation time where they were being relocated to a reservation. So it was this that transition part of their history of being on the land and taken to the reservations and a couple wars in between. And one of the things I came up against was, boy, you really got to use the language of the Paiute in this. It would sound funny if you just had English. So I showed it to Georgine, and I don't know if you could find the Paiutes to do the parts to speak, because it's some lengthy dialogue.
Yeah, I was just reading. I just happened to be reading an article that mentioned something about how can you possibly imagine what your ancestors went to if you don't even know the language that they were thinking in, referring to these tribes and tribal languages. And I also was taking a look at some of the books that Georgine has on her shelves, and I was reading about the Burns Paiute tribe in particular, because in the past when I've done research on some of the tribes here, the Burns Paiute tribe is incredibly small. It has, I don't know if you, it's like, I can't remember exactly what the number is, but it's a ridiculously small number of enrolled people in the tribe. And I was like, I need to know the history of this. So I was taking a look at her history book and reading about that tribe. And yeah, there's so much that went on, so much back and forth. And it's hard to even, I don't even think I could imagine what any of it really looked like. So to write a screenplay on it, or the potential of making a film about it, it's like inconceivable.
Yeah. I took on a topic I think I got in way over my head. But there's a six-episode series now on Netflix, American Primeval, and it's about the settlers of Utah and the Mormons and the military battle and the Paiutes and the other Indian tribe was the Shoshone.
Yeah.
And then the trappers, you know, how they all came it all came to a head in war in a two-week period. And they actually speak Paiute. Do they speak Paiute in that? Chris, do they speak Paiute in that American Primeval? Do they, or is it all English? They speak both.
Yeah.
And the subtitles.
Yeah.
So they use the language there.
Yeah, that is.
Supposed to be a brutal, truthful look, but also the indigenous angle as well.
I don't know the Paiutes, so don't trust me on that.
It's different dialects, I think. I was just looking at this.
But they did it. They found actors that could do it. So I haven't watched it yet, but I'm fascinated to see how they incorporated the language.
Oh, yeah.
Because they wanted it to be accurate.
Yeah.
And, you know, have an authentic presentation of the history there.
I was just watching Yellowstone. Have you watched that?
I haven't watched it, no.
My mom was watching it, and I had no choice but to watch it. But they have a lot of native characters in there that are really interesting.
Do they speak their language?
No.
It's too difficult.
I'm not
actors who can speak fluent enough to do the role in their own language. It's hard to find people to do that. I think.
It is. I think it is. It depends on the tribe, too, because I've met people who are Navajo, and Navajo people do a great job at teaching their language. And a lot of Navajo people can speak Navajo. From what I've encountered, the Navajo people that I've encountered.
Yeah, that's what Georgine said. Some of the tribes have kept their language well, while some have lost it.
Yep.
And unfortunately, the Klamath tribes haven't lost it entirely, but it wasn't kept over generations.
Yeah.
And that's why we're trying to get back to it with our language lessons. And hopefully we will see some videos that are creative, engaging, on lessons.
I hope so. I'll have to get Georgine and Steve to... Well, maybe we'll just send them to acting boot camp for a couple weeks or something, and
It doesn't have to be a short film. It can just be a lesson.
Well, that too.
With our green screen that we have here now and our cameras.
Not good enough. I think we should teach them how to act too.
All right, it's going to take it to another level. You just can't get rid of that creative blood in you that from this PSU studies.
I guess not.
Well, good luck to your ventures in film and here at the Klamath Tribes Language Department, Adriana Hassan. Thank you for joining us on the Klamath Tribes podcast.
Thank you.